It's Joe Giglio for 99.9 The Fan, and I'm excited to introduce to you a new podcast. It will be a weekly NC State podcast, and it's called Pack Therapy. Join me on the therapy couch each Monday as we go over the highs and lows and everything in between for Wolfpack Sports. Because when it comes to NC State, you always have to expect the unexpected. It's as the legendary quarterback Philip Rivers said himself, Wolfpack ain't for soft people, but Pack Therapy is for everyone. If you're an NC State fan, check it out wherever you get your podcasts.
There's a plane waiting for you to take you to St. Louis. There's hotel rooms waiting for you. There's a game waiting for you to be played in St. Louis.
And I don't have to tell you people how many players we put into the NFL and are still playing in the NFL.
I mean, that's a triple play.
You know, it's welling up inside of you, so get it out. It's therapeutic.
I'm listening.
Hey, happy Thanksgiving.
Wolfpack ain't for soft. It ain't for soft people.
This is Pack Therapy, and I am Joe Giglio. You might know me from the OG, the daily radio show I do with Joe Ovius here on 99.9 The Fan. Or you might remember our popular Russell Wilson podcast, Never Failed. There's probably a good chunk of NC State fans, too, who know me from my time at the newspaper, when I covered NC State. I am an NC State graduate, finished in 1997, but I actually started working at the paper when I was still in school. So for the better part of 25 years, I've either written about or talked about NC State sports. Here's what I've learned, and Philip Rivers said it best. Wolfpack ain't for soft people. If you didn't know that before NC State's eventful exit from the College World Series, well, you figured it out by now. After the Wolfpack's eventful exit from the College World Series this summer, I decided to do a pack therapy session on the OG. I actually think it helped. So, this podcast will tap into some of that angst and anxiety and hopefully some of the highs from this season as well. And it's going to give me a chance to talk to NC State people, like our first guest this week, Debbie Yao, in a longer form and to dig in. Each week, we'll go over each game. So check out Pack Therapy presented by Mosquito Authority and Pest Authority. No mosquitoes, no pests, no contracts, guaranteed. We'll have a new episode each Monday. And you can find us wherever you get your podcasts. I will say, I have had the most success with Spotify. So subscribe so you don't miss any of our episodes. And of course, 5 stars only, please. So let's start our pack therapy. I had a chance to sit down recently and talk with Debbie Yao, who was NC State's athletic director for 9 years, from 2010 until her retirement in 2019. Let's be honest here. Debbie's hard-charging style is not for everyone. But it is difficult to argue with her results as her time as the AD with the Wolfpack, and it's impossible to deny her passion for NC State and college sports as a whole. She spent 25 years in the ACC as an athletic director with a 16-year run at Maryland before she came back to NC State. With all of the changes going on in college sports with name, image, and likeness, the Alston case, and the jump of Texas and Oklahoma to the SEC, plus that controversial College World Series exit by NC State, I wanted to get Debbie's thoughts on a variety of topics. But first, I'm a sucker for origin stories and what goes into a coaching search. Debbie hired Wolfpack coach Dave Doran on December 1st, 2012. With Doran set to start year 9 on Thursday at home against South Florida, let's start our pack therapy with Debbie's memories of flying to interview Doran, then the coach at Northern Illinois. So the truth of the matter is you went through a heck of a search in 11 at NC State for a basketball coach.
Yeah.
Which gets you to Mark Gottfried.
Yeah.
The next year, after the 12 football season, you decide to move on from Tom O'Brien and hire Dave Doran.
Yes.
That was like the fastest search in the history of searches. Take me back, if you can, to 12. The season ends. There's a home win over Boston College. I remember the press conference. You were there, and I thought to myself, this might be the last time I see Tom O'Brien as NC State's football coach. Turns out I was right. But you actually,
I don't know if you learned from the basketball search or if you just knew how you wanted to handle the football search. Or it might have been both. Because it was really quick.
Yeah.
And I believe in Dave, you got the coach that you had wanted, who you had targeted as well.
I did get the coach that we had targeted.
Which doesn't always happen in coaching searches, right? I mean, these are things I don't need to tell you.
Absolutely not. Dave was, in this case, who we wanted. And so did Cal Berkeley. I mean, there were other. It's an interesting thing, Joe, because when you go to hire, you hire with the money that you have. You really do. It's a self-support unit, and most of us in Power 5 schools are self-support units. No one is coming up and saying to an AD, tell you what, you go hire who you want, and if they're more expensive than you have, we'll back you up. We'll take some money out of academics and help you pay for them. It's not happening. So you already know as an AD your range of possibilities. And Dave was in that range as a young, he'd been a two-year head coach. So we did have him targeted. We were watching from afar, as we were a couple of other coaches like Sonny Dykes, who I think was at that time might have been at Louisiana Tech. So I showed.
Sonny ended up getting the Cal job.
He did get the Cal
Dave
job.
Dave ended up getting state job.
And they're great friends, by the way. So
same agent, your guy, Jordan Bazant. Yep.
He's your guy. Bazant's your guy. So I showed up.
This was right after the MAC championship game, right? Like you met him like at an airport.
I showed up
took a
private flight, so no one could track the numbers on the plane. Took a private. We didn't take a booster plane. In other words, it took a private plane to.
NC State fans invented that, by the way. They're the ones who came up with tracking flights.
They're
the originals.
They're very smart. Okay. And I knew that. So I'm trying to do this quietly. And so I'm at the airport that morning on Saturday before Dave is there. And the reason being.
So the MAC game would have been in Detroit.
Friday,
It was Friday. Were you in Detroit?
No. I went to whatever town Northern Illinois is in.
It's Cobb.
Okay, thank you. That's where I was. And I landed there, and we were supposed to meet, but he was late. And the reason he was late is, in the MAC, he was on a bus that they took to play the championship game, and the bus on the ride back home broke down. So evidently, it was a long night and hours, of trying to get back. So I was there first. And we met there. We had actually talked earlier, so it isn't like we had never talked. We knew something. He had heard great things from his AD, Jeff, who used to work at NC State. So he was already, in a way, respectful of NC State from some of the things that Jeff had shared with him, which was useful. And Dave and I had already talked. And then we were there together, and my goal on that day was to not leave until Dave and his family were on the plane to coming to NC State. So it worked out. As you point out, it doesn't always work out. And of the people who were available to NC State in the price range that we could afford, I will still make the case he was the best. And that's not a slight to Dave. I mean, some schools at that point in time could have afforded, someone in a Power 5 league that just won the championship of that power. That's not who we were. Things have gotten better. And during my 9 years, things got better financially every single year. And so as things got better financially, we were able to provide more. But we had to do it responsibly, and we care about basketball too. So, there's always some push and pull about who gets what. But it was improving, even if it felt like it took a long time. But it was good. It felt good to – we had the press conference some Sunday afternoon in Murphy Center, and he was off and running. It was a tough start. Really tough start for him and for me, because anytime an AD hires a coach, you know, you're tied to that person in a certain way, indirectly. It doesn't, you can say what you want to, but that's just the way this works. And so it was tough, but he's come a long way since then, and he's gotten better as a coach. I would make the you know, I don't think it's an argument, but I would just say that he's improved a lot.
Well, last year was time. I thought his best work.
It was excellent.
I mean, I don't know how in those circumstances.
Yes, right, terrible circumstances with COVID and
backup quarterback for most of the season.
Yes, yes, and you
all
know,
ACC games. None of your favorite South Alabama fillers or.
Nope.
You know I like to give you a hard time about your scheduling practices.
Well, scheduling practices for ADs are usually tied to the AD and the coach.
I know.
And strangely, ADs are very involved in scheduling for football and not so much necessarily in basketball. Not sure how that ended up being that way, but it has been that way. It was that way for me at St. Louis, Maryland, and at NC State. So for what it's worth, maybe because they have so many conference games, there are not a lot of games left to schedule. So
year 9 for Dave, does that even seem possible?
No.
I mean, honestly, I mean, it really, we were both there. Like, it just,
yeah,
I mean, like blink, whoop. Here we are.
You know, the stability helps and matters, and the recruiting, and you know how I feel about recruiting. I do believe it. Obviously, it's not the only thing, but it's the foundation. If you are, you've got to have both. So he was such a great recruiter and still is, and I don't think he hires anybody who isn't talented in that area, and he's grown in the other areas. He has.
Mosquito Authority and Pest Authority can take care of all of your pest control needs. Ants, mice, roaches, termites, ticks, really any and all types of mosquitoes and pests, they've got you covered. Check them out at bugsbite.com. Mosquito Authority and Pest Authority, they are locally owned. Their highly trained and experienced staff have been protecting homes here in the Triangle for more than 10 years. They use only the highest quality products with unique, proven protocols for the best results for your home. Here's the best part. There are no contracts. That's right. The Mosquito and Pest Authority team prioritizes customer satisfaction and responsiveness. Satisfaction is always guaranteed, and their Google reviews prove it. Take advantage of this special pack therapy offer right now and get $50 off of your first service with a reoccurring service plan. Check them out right now at BugsBite.com. That's Mosquito Authority and Pest Authority at bugsbite.com.
Genuinely, I have been curious during all of this change this summer and the potential change for the NCAA. I have been curious because you spent your entire career in college sports, in big-time college athletics, St. Louis, Maryland, NC State, as an athletic director, and really down in the weeds of all of these topics for a long time that are now coming to head in 2021. So a lot of times I'll be on the air with Joe Ovius and I'll say, I wonder what Debbie thinks of this particular topic because of your expertise and because of you've dealt with all of this stuff. So I am genuinely curious. There's a constitutional convention coming up for the NCAA. They're claiming they're going to start over. And I'm curious, we'll start with, what do you think the NCAA should keep that it currently does? Like, what is one good thing that the NCAA does that you'd like to see them keep going forward?
Well, I think they have to keep championships. I mean, I think that's part of the core of why they exist, and you can always improve on that, and we've seen most recently the issues with the women's basketball tournament, and they're aware of those issues now. And I did an interview with the law firm that was looking at all of that, and you know, I tried to be balanced about it. I've had some marvelous experiences with NCAA championships, having won 16 as an AD, but surely there are ways to improve. So I think they have to keep championships. Unless they come up with something that I don't know about right now, someone more creative than I am, I think they have to keep compliance. But the rules are there. I think there are 7,000 rules. So on any given day.
It feels like a lot.
Well, you know.
What's the most ridiculous rule you encountered in all of your time as an AD?
That, well, one that just jumps out at me right away is that as a guest lecturer in a class on leadership, that I can't provide any pamphlet or anything to student athletes about leadership unless they pay me for that pamphlet, even if it's like $6 or something. And I'm like,
because it's considered an extra benefit.
Yes, it's considered an extra benefit. So it would be nice if they picked the 100 most important rules. And, you know, I want to say this. It's so easy for those of us not charged with making the changes to, you know, sound as though it would be easy. It wouldn't be easy, but to pick the 100 most important and deal with those, and let's get rid of the 7,000. The 7,000 were created because schools have been very creative over the decades in trying to and finding successfully ways to get around the rules. But it's at some point we need to call it a day and just stick to the basics. So those are two areas, I think. There's awards programs for outstanding student athletes. I think those kinds of things always should be in place and support for them in every possible way. Then they do a lot of studies on mental health, as an example. Those kinds of things could always be in place. So I don't know where they're going to. I believe that the ACC commissioner is on the group.
Yeah, he is.
So
23 people in the.
Yeah.
The panel to kind of come up with some recommendations. Yeah. So Jim Phillips is one of them.
I'm glad that the ACC has representation on this.
So what would be one thing that you would like to see the NCAA get rid of?
It's a great question. I don't want to be flippant about
it. You've complained about many of things.
I have.
Surely you could go through your catalog and pick one.
Well, I know that people have often talked about nationalizing officiating. I'm not a proponent of turning officiating over to the NCAA. I really don't want to see that happen, and it never did, but it has been something that's been discussed. I think most of my complaints, though, have been around those rules and the 7,000. So, I don't think that's unique to me. I think a lot of ADs feel that way. We can't. It's hard to keep up. And the compliance staffs at all these schools have proliferated over the decades to try to keep up. So I guess that's where I would land, Joe. Just they need to do championships is the core of what they're all about, and I hope that they keep those and just improve them. I know that there was a move to go in the other direction, meaning they're so stretched financially because of the lawsuit issues. You know, I was on the NCAA television, revenue subcommittee when the restricted earnings coach settlement was made. So I was in the room when that was being discussed when with the attorneys and when the decision was made to settle with them. And that was so long ago. And since then, there have been so many more lawsuits, which is unfortunate. So I think that extricating themselves from any duties that they can't actually fulfill. If you don't have the authority, as an example, you know, I think that in the news recently, it's been the Baylor case again, you know, there's the rules are the rules that they don't really, I don't know that they have the moral authority, is what I'm saying, to do what people would like to see done in that situation. So they need to really take a good look at what they say they can do and where they know they have juice and not try to be all things to all people.
Another big topic this summer with Texas and Oklahoma deciding to leave the Big 12 and go to the SEC is expansion. And you were knee-deep in expansion both times. Mm-hmm. 02 yeah. at Maryland and yeah. then the 11-12 years
yeah.
at NC State. So first, your reaction to the SEC making this move and Greg Sankey being aggressive and really doing what's best for his conference, but perhaps not what's best for college football in total.
Well, I don't think we can blame Greg Sankey. I think Greg Sankey's charge is to take care of the SEC, and he's doing that. Now that I'm a fan, however, I will say that I don't like it personally because I was I like the Big 12 as a conference. I liked its makeup. And, you know, my husband's family is out that way with a number of OU graduates, and so very familiar with the league. So from a parity perspective, no, I didn't like it. Do I respect the fact that he is taking care of business for the SEC? I do. I don't personally have an issue with his aggressiveness. I think that's why he's still in the job and just got an extension.
That would be one thing maybe people don't understand about the ACC and the position that they're in. If you could maybe explain what had happened in 12 with the grant of rights, that because now people are like, oh, Clemson or Florida State or North Carolina is going to leave the ACC. Well, that's not really possible, right?
Yes, it's not.
Not without a severe financial punishment.
Right. And in, the GO, as we call it, the GOR, the grant of rights, was designed to best ensure that no school in the Atlantic Coast Conference would be leaving. And it was actually pretty much a requirement for that TV deal with the SEC, because the money was continuing to grow and they wanted to be sure that the conference was stable. So the GOR means that you can leave and go to any league you want to, but your money for TV stays with the old league. So obviously no one's going to take anybody from a league in terms of expansion if they can't take the money, bring the money with them. You know, the GOR has not been tested in any league that I'm aware of. Now, right now, Texas and Oklahoma are facing that. There's a GOR for them to leave. I think it was about $80 million if they were each to leave right now or within the next year. So it'll be interesting to see if in the league, if they settle with Texas and Oklahoma because they don't want to see them in any meeting. If you can imagine being an athletic director in the Big 12 and then going to a meeting now with the ADs, both of whom are friends of mine, but going to and seeing them at your league meeting, that'd be tough, especially
because they're about to kill that league.
They're leaving. They're not part of they're only there by default, and you don't want to see them. They're not part of your future. So I tend to think there will be a settlement. I don't know where that ends up, but they're playing a game of chicken, I think, right now, because both OU and Texas have said, no, they're in for the 3 years. So we'll see. It's hard for me to imagine they'll be there 3 years.
What were those conversations like in 11 and 12 about the grant of rights? Because I'm sure there were some ACC schools, maybe even NC State, that were hesitant to make a commitment through 2035.
Well, the commitment originally was through 38, 39.
That's a long time.
It's a long time. And 3 years was cut off of it in terms of negotiating. You know, as you said, schools were, I think, rightly concerned about the length of the contract. So
which was tied to the television contract.
It absolutely was. Okay. Yes. And so they were coming together. And so it's still very long, but it isn't as long as it was originally planned to be. And so I've never seen the TV contract. I don't know of any ADs that have seen the contract.
Which is crazy, right?
Well, you know, we're an interesting league where we have a number of privates, more than any other Power Five school, to go with all of the publics. And when you're in a public institution, I think the concern is, you know, from the league perspective, is that somehow someone's going to do a freedom of information request for that information.
That damn media. You can't trust them.
I know. So just know that as long as it sounds, it was planned originally to be 3 years longer.
What did the ACC get right in 12 when they added Syracuse and Pittsburgh, in your opinion?
That was the new 12-year deal. What they got right, well, what we thought we got right at the time was it doubled the revenue for each of the schools. So we thought, I mean, at the time, and I think it's really challenging to recreate what it was like back then, but looking at doubling the revenue to each of the schools was huge, or seemed huge at the time.
That was like, what, 8 million to 16?
Something like that. Yeah, I've got, I think from 11, 12, that was, we went from 67 million for the year to $155 million to be split. The other thing that's interesting is when we talk about money, you know, you count your money different ways depending on which entity is counting it, and so that's always a little bit confusing. So I can tell you that it did double. And at that time, the SEC model wasn't even understood. They didn't form their network until the summer of 2014. So the only network comparison there was, as we were discussing that, is a possibility, which we didn't do at that time, but was the Big Ten. The Big Ten model was judged by our consultants to cost at least $100 million to start, with no guarantees for when and how much money we would receive, which, I mean, those two statements alone would kill that deal with all of the ADs, especially when the comparison is, hey, we can double your money right now with ESPN. What do you think?
Was there anything in the deal that gave you pause?
Oh, I think the length, obviously. Even, I mean, 12 years even then seemed like a lot. It was the first time we bundled football with men's basketball, and then
and so adding Syracuse there made sense.
Yes, it did.
Not only because of basketball, but because of the state of New York.
It did, and because of how the SEC, ESPN explained to us they were going to try to market this and get everybody on board. So.
ESPN plays a fairly large role in all of this, right? I mean, we're seeing that right now with Bob Bowlsby kind of raising his hand, well, saying, hey, wait a second.
I mean, I'll just say that ESPN matters. Their opinion matters. ADs listen to ESPN when they have an opinion on anything, but especially about TV content. So they matter. I don't think I can get sued for saying that. So,
it's a very political answer by you in your retirement.
Well, I don't want to be in litigation. I don't have anybody else to back me up to pay for it.
So Syracuse joins in 12. I think you were involved actually in 2 when Syracuse was originally going to be added in that first round.
Yes.
What happened there?
Well,
I feel like you have a story for us.
Well, we thought it was a done deal. We had a delegation. Commissioner Swofford asked me to, quote-unquote, lead the delegation to go up to Syracuse to meet with their athletic director at the time and to view their facilities and to really, you know, begin that relationship. And we did. And it was a great visit. And, they were so happy at that point in time, thinking they were going to be in the ACC.
Syracuse was.
Yes, they were. And so we held a press conference at the end of a couple of days visit there, and it was pretty much celebratory. You know, they loved us, we loved them. You know, it's the way it is when you expand the schools that are coming in. And so we left there thinking that was pretty much a done deal. But evidently, when the time came for the vote among the presidents to finalize this, there was a change in the voting that was anticipated, and we didn't have the votes that were needed to bring them in, and it didn't happen. I'm grateful it happened later, but it didn't happen then.
So Miami was the no-brainer. Was there any – I'm curious now, and I know it's 2021, and it's hard to go back to 2002 and try to be in that mindset of 2002, but what were the conversations like about Boston College? And their fit.
Yes, academics versus athletics. And, you know, every school has a personality, has a culture. I would say that NC State is very balanced in that regard. We care about both. We do. We care about both. We care about academics. We care about athletics. And we try to stay balanced about it. But there were definitely schools that were more concerned about academics. They wanted Boston College in as another private, and there were schools that weren't as concerned about that. And I don't say that in a derogatory way. They were basically making the point, you know, this is a discussion you have. They're basically making the point, this is an athletic conference, not an academic conference. Right. And we need to ramp up accordingly so that the money is as good as it can be. And in that regard, they were looking at other schools that could bring probably more to the table financially. So their compromise is made. It's a bit like Congress. So there's a bill in front of Congress, and you get some of what you want, but you don't get everything. And so that's where we ended up landing.
Mosquito Authority and Pest Authority can take care of all of your pest control needs. Ants, mice, roaches, termites, ticks, really any and all types of mosquitoes and pests, they've got you covered. Check them out at bugsbite.com. Mosquito Authority and Pest Authority, they are locally owned. Their highly trained and experienced staff have been protecting homes here in the Triangle for more than 10 years. They use only the highest quality products with unique, proven protocols for the best results for your home. Here's the best part. There are no contracts. That's right. The Mosquito and Pest Authority team prioritizes customer satisfaction and responsiveness. Satisfaction is always guaranteed, and their Google reviews prove it. Take advantage of this special pack therapy offer right now and get $50 off of your first service with a reoccurring service plan. Check them out right now at bugsbite.com. That's Mosquito Authority and Pest Authority at bugsbite.com.
And before I let you go, and thank you so much for being so gracious with your time. I appreciate it. And it feels good to have a conversation with you, right?
You miss me.
I do.
Yeah.
I mean, why not? I don't know if you miss me.
Well, it depends on what the subject is. Yes, no, maybe.
Right?
Yeah.
But this is pack therapy, and I don't want to put you... I want to put you in a position as an NC State fan,
mm-hmm.
not a former administrator,
right.
Just as someone who cares about NC State. What was your reaction to the College World Series exit?
I thought it was devastating. And you wake up on Saturday morning and you look at your phone and you say, oh my goodness, what do you mean this is happening? I did, the only tweet I made about this was I just, people were so concerned, so upset. I just said, hey, we don't know everything that's happened. And we didn't. And we still don't. But having sat in the chair, I know how challenging it can be. Some things you can say at certain times, some things you can't share. I know that, you know, some of it will unfold as time goes by. I knew some people on the baseball committee. As a friend, a longtime friend of some of them, I've had a conversation or two about this and how it feels and how it looks to an NC State fan, because that's how I was reacting as a fan. And I do believe that in the long run, the NCAA would benefit from doing a very thorough review of how all of this was managed and why. And, you know, I looked at everything that was public to look at in terms of the guidelines for championships and that kind of thing, and there still were a couple of questions, you know, that I didn't see answered by looking at those standards. So I do think that that's going to happen, but it was tough. I think it was tough for everyone. Why people who continue to test negative, even though they're unvaccinated, can't play is just a question.
That wouldn't have been in the rules either.
No.
If you test negative, you can't play. Yeah.
Correct. Yeah. It's not. It isn't there. So we have a couple of concerns about that still, but I don't think I'm alone. I believe that they'll look at that, and they'll have a new chair for the committee, I think, announced in September, and that person's going to have to deal with this and be sure that things go more smoothly the next time around. But for us as NC State and have a chance, we were talented enough to win the whole thing. You know that. And not saying we would have, but we were right there. That's a challenge. I tell you what I loved about it was the number of people that came out that Saturday night over at Doak to greet them at home. And I believe I saw a video of Elliot talking to the group. And when the guys were going off the field, they were smiling. It was the best part of the whole thing was that they knew they were cared for and appreciated.
Debbie Yao, this has been our PAC therapy session. I hope you enjoyed it. I hope it helped. And I appreciate you joining me.
It's been my pleasure. And as we sign off, I just want to say what a joy it was. It really was, Joe. I mean, I would do it all again. Crazy as the world is and as that industry, or as I call it, the enterprise is, even now with COVID and NIL, NC State is a special place. Randy Woodson is a special chancellor. And it was an awesome experience. So I'm pulling for them. I'm a fan now, like you pointed out. So I'm pulling for them every day for every team to do well.
I just want to thank Debbie Yao again for joining me here on the very first episode of PAC Therapy, which is presented by Mosquito Authority and Pest Authority. No mosquitoes, no pests, no contracts, guaranteed. Great to see Debbie enjoying retirement. I know she's still on Twitter. You can follow her at GoPacNow. She still really loves and has a passion for NC State sports. I will be back with a special episode on Thursday, a very special episode, as us kids from the 1980s remember. But not that kind of very special episode. I'll have Brandon Bishop, who played safety for NC State and in the NFL. He'll join me for a season preview. What will the Wolfpack do in 2021 after going 7-3 in the ACC in a pandemic year? You're not going to want to miss our season predictions before Thursday's opener with South Florida. Catch us on Thursday on another episode of PAC Therapy.